long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning here with Robin Walter. God bless you. Great to have you here. We are going to talk about something today that, boy, I don't cover very much, which means it's something I really need myself. Isn't that what that usually means? I think so. But let's start with a prayer, as we always do. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that infills us and dwells us. And Lord God, we thank you for that which awaits us. This time on earth, it's the only time frame we have. So it seems long until we get closer to the end, and then it seems so short. But it's all nothing compared to eternity with you. Father, I ask you to just speak through me today, even if I'm speaking through me to only me. But I think this is for others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to touch on worship. I didn't even know where to start this. This is kind of a tough one. I'm going to start with the Word of God. Let's start with that. And I'm going to read from James today. And it's not a worship passage that you would think, but you'll see why that it is. James chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. And it reads, "Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? But he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Okay, so is the devil an issue? Well, of course he is. We covered a few weeks ago about the three temptations in the wilderness, and the devil is saying, and I forgot which gospel it was now, that said that the devil departed for a season. He was gone for a while. But that was Jesus, defeated him with the word. And then it said in another passage that after that defeat of the enemy, the angels came and ministered to him. Isn't that something? The angels ministering to the Son of God. Well, he'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and I guess I can't sympathize or certainly empathize. I don't know or really understand all that he went through, beginning with in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I was thinking this last week. I do some music in church, but I'm not the worship guy. It talks about in Scripture about singing scriptural songs and psalms and hymns. And I like the hymns. I really like the old hymns. The worship area, I've not been so strong on. There are a couple of guys that do that well. And the few things that I do tend to be for the lost more than for the found. But I was reading in Revelation this morning, and about the seven churches. And I may have asked the radio audience this once before, but it would have been at least a year ago. Is there any particular church with which you identify? In other words, the good things about that church describe you, if there are good things, and most of the churches have good things. One of them doesn't, Laodicea. But, maybe it does a little bit. But do the bad things also describe you? And bad, I mean deficits, your shortcomings, your sins. But in every one, there are good things that are said, and then God has an issue with them. And I thought, well, God, which one am I? Because I know I'm in here somewhere. And I was in there right out of the gate. I land in the book of Ephesus, where it says, "I know your works, your labor, and your patience, Well, I may be a little light on the patience, but I labor hard. And how you can't bear them which are evil. Well, if you hear my radio program, you know that. I mean, the other one, the political program, and this one as well. You have tested them which say they are apostles, and they are not. I don't know of anybody who has challenged more lawyers. I'm a lawyer. Well, lawyers too. More pastors on egregious errors, willful errors in their teaching than I. I've got a thick skin, and I do that not to ruffle their feathers, but to, frankly, make them better pastors. So this speaks of me. I see myself written all over this. Those that say they're apostles, but they aren't. They're liars. You have borne them, and you've had patience for my name's sake. Okay, I've stayed in churches thinking I can do things while the pastor may pull out of it, and he doesn't, or what have you. And you've not fainted. No, here at my age, I'm going strong. Thank God. Praise God for that. Nevertheless, Robin, why don't you just insert my name? I've got some things against you because you have left your first love. Do you remember from that which you have fallen? Well, repent. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick. I mean, basically all these churches have warnings given to them. And what were my first works? I got miraculously, unbelievably, dramatically saved. Not quite like Paul on the road to Damascus, but I was on the road when it happened. I happened to be on the road to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I won't go into that. But those early years, oh, I couldn't wait to get to church. A church service that was 2 hours disappointed me because it didn't go three. And I loved the singing and the worshiping and all of that stuff. And it hasn't been as much in the more recent years. And I returned to this, spoke to me that really the worship begins when you begin, but it should never end. And I'm not saying that it's ended. It's just sort of, I'm not where I used to be. And this is one of these things in this year, 2025, I am focusing on. Now, why do I bring up this passage in James here? That indicates about James 4 through 7, 4, 5 through 7. Well, because it talks about submitting, to God, one, then resist the devil, two, and then three, he will flee from you. So those challenges that I have in my life, and we all have them, and I'll tell you right now, I've got some. If I'm struggling or you're struggling with being able to resist, to be free from the devil in some areas, meaning he's still harassing you, he's still after you, okay, which means he hasn't fled. If he's fled, he's not harassing you, right? Well, go back to verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Point number one, numero uno. Then resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. If you don't resist him, he's not going to flee. He's going to hang around. But you're not going to be able to resist him until you first submit yourself to God. And I don't think that I have submitted myself in the area of worship like I should. And that's going to be, like I said, that's part of my 2025 and hereafter. I need to do that because if I don't do that, that makes the resisting hard. How do I resist something if I haven't submitted to God? Let me just kind of give you a couple of examples. I mean, if I don't submit myself to God, is there not a much higher probability that I would resist submitting to legitimate human authority? Think about that. And the reason I say that is because I don't do well with most human authority. I practice law by myself. I don't like a snake pit, sometimes known as a law firm. There are probably good ones out there. It's just not made for me. And so if I don't submit to a higher authority, God, why would I submit to a lower authority? And in many cases, I have not. Now, I pay my taxes accurately and those things, but I push some things. I kind of an embarrassing story, and I've shared it before, but my younger son, when he was about 5 or 6, I'm not sure quite the age, but he was reading. I'm going down the street, and he said, "Dad, you were supposed to turn there." And I said, "Well, Ryan, what do you mean I'm supposed to turn there?" "Yeah, because the sign says, 'Do not enter.'" So to my son, the words "do not enter" meant that I was supposed to turn there and enter, because he had observed just how many times I had disobeyed legitimate human authority and just did whatever the heck I wanted to. Is it pride? I don't know. I'm sure that's part of it. I mean, Vashti in the book of Esther lost her position to Esther due to pride. Naaman, I mean, goodness, he refused to submit and almost didn't get his healing because he did not submit to the prophet. Right? And in that day and age, the prophet might as well have been God. He was speaking on behalf of God. So not submitting to the prophet was like not submitting to God. Well, if you don't submit to God, the higher authority, how are you going to be able to deal with a lesser authority? How are you going to be able to resist the devil who's below God? And if you don't resist him, then guess what? He's not going to flee. And guess what? Naaman, if he did not ultimately submit, would have been stuck with his leprosy. And there's this submission that, I almost think that it's sort of for me that there's a lot of things I do legally, not a lot of things I do well. Some things I do well because I've had a lot of time and experience, but God has called me back into the practice in a particular area, and it's criminal defense. Not something I really know a ton about. I've done a little bit of it, and now I'm learning a whole lot more. And a passage in Scripture struck me like I couldn't believe that it states, and to give you the passage, 1 John 2:1, that says, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." If any man sin, we have an advocate. Well, Jesus is our advocate. As I was in court yesterday on behalf of a criminal defendant, I'm his advocate. And why? Because he had sinned. And I thought, oh my gosh. He didn't submit to legitimate human authority, and in so doing, yeah, he ended up with some issues, criminal issues. But just like us, I mean, we have all sinned, right? It says in Scripture, any man who says he's not sinned, he's a liar. Well, but Jesus is nonetheless our advocate before the Father, who's the judge. And so in like-mindedness, I'm functioning as an advocate to the judge, to the Father, on behalf of a man who's sinned. You see the parallel, but the submission must start to God. And if there isn't a submission to God, there's likely not a submission to legitimate human authority, which rests below it. That leaves you wide open to the devil, because it said, submit yourselves to God. And then interestingly, then after that says, resist the devil. And then third, he will flee from you. You know, I've done some fleeing. But I've fled from the authorities. You know, I don't think I should go into that. I'm just realizing the Holy Spirit's checking me on something that I was going to share, but I don't think I should. But if you don't submit to God, you're not going to willingly submit to humans, and you're not going to be able to resist the devil. So if you think, as I have thought sometimes, that I can do it in the flesh, I can't. You can't do it in the flesh. Remember the demoniac and the Gadarenes that no man could subdue in the natural? There was no fleshly way of bringing that person around. But Jesus moved on him with compassion, came before the Father in the flesh, if you will, and that spirit had to submit to God. And when that happened, guess what? The devil fled. You think you can do it in willpower? Take it from somebody who has tried that about 1,373 times. You're attempting to work with a maximum of human capacity. And I will tell you, it's no match for the devil. It's no match for anything if you haven't first submitted yourself to God. Didn't work for Adam and Eve. They were created perfect. So I'm coming back to this point of worship. I mean, why does submitting to God in worship provide the authority to resist the devil? I mean, better yet, why does he flee? I mean, keep in mind, you haven't even ordered him to leave. You're not binding the strong man as it commands us to do, but that usually deals with ministry to other people, not so much to ourselves. But we have to, the reason it is so effective, why we can't resist the devil if we don't submit ourselves to God, and why would he flee? Well, because, I'm going to go back to that chapter, the passage that I alluded to earlier in Matthew, four. And that, you know what, I'm going to just get the passage here. Matthew 4, verse 9. What does Satan say to Jesus when he's tempting him? He says to him, "All these things will I give thee if you will fall down and worship me." Look how badly the enemy covets worship. He's jealous. He's never going to occupy the throne room. He doesn't get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's cut out. He's iced. He's been disinherited. I've disinherited people, I mean, not I, but on behalf of people writing documents. Did one just the other day. "Dear daughter, I love you, but you're not going to get a doggone thing. I purposely, specifically, knowingly, and intentionally disinherit you from any provisions of under this document." Done it a lot of times. How does that person feel, that child, whoever it is, when they find out that they've been cut out? I'll tell you why. How? They're jealous of the ones who didn't get cut out. But they're cut out for their own problems, just like the devil is cut out of God's will. Because he did it, he messed up, but in a way that's unforgivable. He's a goner. You see, the reason that our submitting to God and worship is so effective is because there's really, I mean, some people say, well, you worship money, you worship travel, you can worship certain people. Yeah, I suppose that's sort of true. But ultimately, it comes down to you're worshiping God or you're worshiping the devil. The old Bob Dylan song just popped in my head. It may be the Lord and it may be the devil, but you got to worship somebody. You got to serve somebody. That's how it goes. You got to serve somebody. You're going to serve one or the other. And when you are worshiping God, you are serving God. And there's nothing Satan can do with that. When you worship God, you actually are, at that same time, resisting the devil. He can't touch you because you're engaged with the one who's occupying the throne room, and it is not he, meaning Satan. No, he's out. He's jealous. He's envious. You're spending all the time with the one that beat him in the garden. and he's still ticked off. Still is. He doesn't really want us. Do you know that? I don't think he gives a rip whether we are in hell with him or not. And he wants us defeated. He wants us separated from God. Now, separated from God means hell, but he wants the separation from the Father more than he wants us as his property. We mean nothing to him. But every time he can snatch a soul, he thinks that he has defeated God in little bits and pieces. He's jealous. He's envious. He wants to be worshipped so badly. He covets it. That is absolutely true. And though we may worship God and he departs, he will come back. But what this is why I brought up this other passage about where it says that he departed, but for a season. He's going to come back with something else. But the other passage, putting them together from another gospel, it says that after Jesus had resisted the devil and he's worshiping the Father by bringing forth the word to the devil to his face. He's submitting to the Father. Satan leaves, and then God sends the angels to minister to him. And this is the part that is just kind of really getting to me, is that, you know, if I do what I am supposed to do, and not feigned worship, now I don't have my hands raised in church thinking about who I really want to win the Super Bowl, the Chiefs or the Eagles, because frankly, honestly, I don't give a rip. I really do. I don't. I'm so saturated with football. I'm ready to go move to hockey. But the point being, he distracts us, and that's not real worship, but I mean real worship. And it's something that I have to redevelop and take to a level like I never knew before, because I think times, while we talk about happy days are here again because we got a good administration, when this administration is done, I'm going to tell you right now, it will be Katie bar the door. What is going on in this country? The devil is ticked. He is really ticked. He's raging. He knows his time is short. And he's after us is because we have become, in a renewed sense, the biggest ally Israel has on the face of the earth. God's blessing us because we bless Israel. But he's jealous. And what I'm saying to you is that if you are engaged in worship, when you are tempted, whatever it is just simply time to worship. I use the word all the time. But I use the word primarily in my interaction with others. It's how I bring God into every conversation I can think of. I mean, I don't care if you're talking to some transvestite. You say, well, you know what God says, Deuteronomy 22:5, you know, no man shall wear the clothing that pertains to a woman, or the woman wear clothing that pertains to a man, for it's an abomination unto God. I speak the word to people. And there are times that I don't have to remind God, but I bring his word back up in prayer. If it's a matter of supplication and thanksgiving, but mostly there's a particular need. God, you said you would provide for all of my needs according to your riches and glory. You do that. But the word there is a form of worship. And the worship is what sets the tone and the spirit for which the devil cannot compete. And he leaves. But to make sure that the job is finished, do not come in the ministering angels? Would he not bring ministering angels to us after we have had a triumphal bout with the devil, using the word, but partly as worship, and we're worshiping God, resisting the devil? Would he not bring, when that worship time is over, angels, ministering angels unto us to just seal the deal, at least for a period of time, I mean, we aren't ministered to day in 24/7 the rest of our life. I mean, they're doing things around us we don't know about, but I'm speaking specifically as a ministering spirit. Now, the enemy's not going to be leaving you alone, like that passage, but that passage talks about the man having his house swept clean, but there was nothing to fill it. And then the enemy goes and gets spirit seven times worse, comes back to the man and reenters, and the latter stage is worse than the first. Yes, we need to stay filled. I don't know how in court I find myself being able to worship. I can't. I mean, I will say, God, I don't know what to say here. Can you give me the words to say? Because, man, I'm stuck. I'm not coming up with it. I'm not that good. And if you're relying on your flesh, I'll tell you, it just doesn't work. Satan has people in the flesh on the other side. Maybe think we're going to outwit them. No, there are other people a lot smarter than I am. They're going to think I do it with money. Well, no, goodness sakes, gazillions of people have more money than I do. There's only one thing I have that the world doesn't have, and that's a spirit of the living God. You see how the enemy has worked in the lives of other people. I mean, in Scripture, you could just see it. I mean, consider the jealousy of Saul toward David. Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You look at Daniel chapter 6. Every area where the devil seems to succeed is an area where whoever he's after has not submitted to God. And it seems like submission is the consummate form of worship. It just isn't the raising of hands that constitutes worship. I think there's worship anytime, anywhere, under any place, and under any circumstance that you put God first. And yeah, it may involve telling him how much you love him and glorifying him. But ultimately, we glorify him the most by submitting to his word and doing what he says. And then in that case, then the other things are not as much of a challenge. And when they are, when you have done something that seems as though it was something you could never, ever have actually done before because your flesh so badly does not want to do what your spirit is telling you, the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. And it's a battle royale, warring against each other. I mean, Paul talks about that. The things that I would do and should do, I don't. The things I shouldn't do, those are the things I do. So, you know, what a mess. But he ends up going on to proclaiming that Jesus Christ is taking care of that battle if we submit. And nothing has changed since Paul's days right to this very moment. We submit, then the devil has been resisted. He will flee. And if the battle is, like I said, a battle royale, whoa, in come the ministering angels. And the few times I've had that kind of situation, my goodness, what God does to let me know, hey, kid, you did the right thing, and I'm really proud of you. Please listen to this.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. God bless you all. We will see you next week.